You know, this book is about your personal and professional life, but it's also about cooking and your philosophy kind of about that. When you started writing it, what did you set out to do?
Something very different than what appeared. I think I started out writing lively essays about food and cooking, and at the time, all this sort of debris and crap from my life kept kind of splattering onto the pages, and I kept erasing and trying to hide it, and sort of metaphorically speaking, my editors would say, "What are these stains on the page that seem to be here?" And finally I realized I was writing a memoir and not at all a collection of lively essays about food, and once I got over my resistance to that, I just fully committed.
So you actually tried to take out the personal bits?
Oh, I was loath to include. So not the book I meant to write. You know, I mean, memoir, at least when I came through writing school everywhere and, you know, in any criticism you ever read in the big, important newspapers, et cetera, the men are always saying, like, memoir is what women do, or memoir is sort of the bastard child of literature. So, of course, to admit that you're writing one, it's a little bit like saying, well, I doodle Hallmark cards, or I don't know, you know, some less than literary ambition. So I felt embarrassed about it. But finally I realized that's all I am. You know, I am what I am. So I'm going to do the best that I am capable of. I wrote about people and events and things in my life as they pertain to food only, which inevitably brought in other aspects that were not related to food, just the sort of human psychological aspect, and then abandoned that portion just to get back to the food, because that's how I understood the project. I didn't think anyone was asking me to write a memoir. I thought people were asking me to write about food because I'm a chef.
Well, the book is a lot about food, and you cover a lot of terrain, from the lamb your father roasted when you were young, to catering, to Europe and Italy. For, you know, people who haven't read this book, can you talk a little bit about what role each plays in who you are today, I guess, and your cooking?
Yes, I think that my parents are the most significant influence on my cooking and eating. My father is this sort of watercolor dreamer, artistic bohemian type with a generosity almost to a fault, and he could never cook anything for one. You know, he can only cook for 100, and not only cook it, but then he's got to create the mise-en-scene. He was a set designer for many, many years, so he's very aware of the power of the smell of smoke and the lighting and how snowflakes should be falling right at the right moment. So I gathered a lot of that from him. But from my mother, this French disciplined ballet dancer who had to cook meals for our family on a painter's paycheck. From her, I learned a lot of frugality and discipline and how to get everything comestible from the animal or the vegetable, and to use the rotten bits and the moldy bits as well. So that's very good training for running a restaurant, for sure. Later, when I meet my mother-in-law, just incredible Italian, real nonna, you know, classico. She's a great reminder to sort of stay in the home cooking idiom and not get restaurant-y, which, you know, having run a restaurant for some 12 years now, I am susceptible to forget what I really want to be doing, which is sort of delicious, simple home cooking.
So there are times when you might think of a new menu item or something at Prune, and then you stop and you say, wait a second.
It's not enough if it's the new menu item or as much as I start to want to tinker with its presentation and make it more commercially viable in ways that the average customer will recognize. So instead of just putting this simple soup into a soup plate, you know, suddenly I'm thinking, should we have a fried leaf garnish on here, and should there be a zigzag of foamy something, and oh my god, am I supposed to put this in a pitcher and then pour it? And so I do recall her and think, it's just soup, Gabrielle, just put it in the bowl.
Well, and one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting, not being someone who is really into the whole, you know, world of restaurants and celebrities and things like that, and almost every review I've read of this book, people repeatedly praise you, and, you know, for not expanding Prune and for not going after a cooking show or being on, you know, America's Next Top Chef or whatever. Why are they so surprised by that? Is it really that rare for somebody to be a good chef these days and have a small restaurant and, you know, and just keep going with that?
Apparently it is. I can sort of understand it. It's hard to make a living in this business, and one way to make some money is to expand your empire. And something that I guess I don't totally understand is that the industry used to be an anonymous, invisible one. You are the help. You're in the kitchen. You're here to cook and serve and be hospitable and not to be on the television as the celebrity. So that part has really come radically around in the past 10, 15 years like that. If television were about cooking, I think it would appeal to me. I am happy to share what I know or, you know, help out in whatever way there is. But so far, I have not found the television show that's about real cooking, which I can understand. It's not very telegenic. It's not highly entertaining. You could not get a lot of advertising dollars if you were going to actually watch someone methodically and correctly truss a chicken and brown it properly on all sides in real time. You know, if we have to follow this attention span of the viewer where you have to do these sharp cuts and quick edits and there have to be incredible challenges against you, like you're cooking in a college dorm room or I don't know. That stuff is indeed addictively entertaining. I totally get it. But if there were a show that's just about cooking, I would do it, but I'm sure it's not viable.
Well, speaking of advice, there's a scene I really liked in your book where you're at a lecture for aspiring female chefs and your fellow panelists are offering up all kinds of kind of questionable advice, like that women chefs are innately superior to men, that it's super easy to balance being a chef and having a family and all kinds of things, which you go through in your book are not necessarily true. And in the scene, you're silent and you're kind of unable to tackle these issues. And I was wondering, what would you say now?
In fact, everything that I would want to say to an aspiring young female chef, I did say in that chapter. And what I was stricken silent by in my peer group there was that they were not telling the truth to their audience. They were, understandably, I think they were there just to sort of encourage and, you know, cheer on young women to come into the industry and to keep going, and that's fine. But what I wanted them to know, what I wrote in the chapter and what I would still say to them today, is just this is what it's going to really look like. So discover for yourself if you're cut out for this, because it hurts and everybody gets hurt. Your kids, you, your partner, your restaurant, your career, it is extremely difficult work. It can be done, but you have to be made of something a little cuckoo and highly driven. I mean, I don't think it's different in any other industry like lawyering or corporate banking where women are trying to have families and keep going in their careers. But I just wanted to describe for the women what it would be like. So there's a night of very little sleep. I arrived to the event. It turns out that my shirt is stained, which I can't stand. I've got crap in my purse from, you know, like a clove of garlic and a jar of baby food and somebody's sock in there. So that just describes what it's like to kind of have no orderly, clean personal real estate. So I hope by the end of the chapter, I don't have a message. I just have given an aspiring female chef a clear, precise picture of what it will be like to try and juggle all of those aspects of your life.
Chef Gabrielle Hamilton, author of Blood, Bones, and Butter, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me.